Thanks, Ken. Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for praying for me. Building a holy house, a tabernacle sanctuary. This is the Lord's point of contact with his people. This is the place where he will meet them. I will live in your midst. That's what he's told these people. God is going to live among men. And there is a specific design and a specific plan that he lays out in 25 through 31. Then in 35 through 39, there's construction and preparation of this house. In the context, you have to keep in mind that when Moses is getting the design and the plan, the Lord is showing him the sanctuary in heaven where he in fact dwells. And he says, what you're going to do is you're going to build a model of this place on earth. And remember, the context is Moses is getting this design and plan while his people are down below worshiping a golden calf, saying, we want this God to take us back to Egypt. This is one of the most contrasting sections in the Bible. And so we studied the last 2 weeks how God was able to reconcile himself to these sinful, traitorous people, use Moses as an intercessor and mediator to bring them back so he can restore the covenant. Now the covenant's been restored, they will in fact construct the place that he has designed. And the architectural look is kind of like this. We're going to look at the details of this, but this is the overall structure. It's a courtyard with an altar in the middle of the courtyard with a place to wash after the altar. And then there's a tent. And this tent would look like the tent of maybe a very important person who was traveling across the desert with his entourage. But inside this tent, there's a special table of bread, there's a special light, there's an incense altar, and behind that, there's what's called the Ark of the Covenant. Keep in mind, the design of this is do this exactly like the pattern I will show you. So then take this from an architectural view and take it into a more realistic view. This is what it looks like completed. The courtyard, the bronze altar, the laver, then the tent of meeting. The holy place and the holy of holies. And you look a little bit closer at the tent of meeting. This is covered with leather, probably made of porpoise. Waterproof, warm, protected. The front is colorful linen, multicolored. Inside of this is the holy place and the holy of holies. The holy place is the outer part where those three elements are, the table of showbread here, the light on the left, and the incense altar in between. Then there's a curtain, which has been taken away for this illustration. Behind that is the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the sanctuary. Sanctuary means holy place. Here's the priest. All of this would be totally irrelevant without this guy. This is the high priest. What does the high priest do? He represents, he mediates, and he intercedes. He is a representative for the people in the sanctuary of God. We saw how Moses was being brought to that position on the mountain where he fell down on his face and he says, we are sinners, but we want you to renew your relationship, your fellowship with us. And God does. Because Moses became such a focal point, faithful mediator in chapter 34. So that's the next thing he does. He mediates on behalf of people. It's through the high priest that the sacrifices are offered. He's the one who takes the blood into the holy place and into the Holy of Holies once a year to atone for all of the sins of the people for the entire year. He's the only one. He also intercedes. He prays for the people. The representative vest represents all of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's wearing on his chest a breastplate of 12 stones. So it says when he goes into the holy place, he's taking all of the people in there with him, and he's a representative. He intercedes. That's shown here by the censer, it's called. The incense was representative of prayer. So this is a two-way communication. He's the agent of atonement. So now let's talk about the holy dwelling. Chapter 25, the first 9 verses, there's a call for a collection. This was told to Moses up on the mountain. This is what you will do. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to make an offering to me, or for me. Receive whatever offerings any man wishes to give. You know what that means? It's totally voluntary. Not mandatory. Totally voluntary. These offerings are to be gold, silver, bronze, linen, blue, purple, red wool, cloth made of goat's hair, ram's skin, dyed red, fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet-smelling incense. And then carnelians and other jewels are to be set in the ephod, or the breastplate of the priest, which we just saw. The people must make a sacred tent, that's sanctuary, so that I may live among them. There's the purpose. Make it and all its furnishings according to the plan that I give to you. You got to do it my way. If you don't want to do it my way, then don't do it. You're safer not doing something than not doing it God's way. The central object in all of this is the box. Verse 10, make a box, make an ark out of acacia wood, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide, 20 inches high. I've retranslated the cubits for you, okay? We understand inches better than and feet better than cubits, I hope. So about 4 feet long and a little over 2 feet wide and a little over 2 feet high. He says, you take that and cover it with pure gold inside and outside. So the whole thing's going to be gold. Put a gold border around it. 4 legs and 2 rings on each side, and put 2 poles through there of acacia wood and cover them with gold, and that's how they're going to carry it. Verse 15, the poles are to be left in the rings and must not be taken out. Always supposed to be ready to go. Then put in the box the 2 stone tablets that I will give to you, on which the commandments are written, the 10 commandments that he spoke from the mountaintop. Then 17, make a lid of pure gold, 45 inches long, 27 inches wide. This is going to fit on the top of the box. Make 2 winged creatures of hammered gold, 1 for each end of the lid, and make them so they form 1 piece with the lid. The winged creatures are to face each other across the lid. Their outspread wings are to cover it, and put the 2 stone tablets inside the box and put the lid on top of the box. I'm going to meet you there. That's going to be the point of contact for you. Above the lid, between the 2 winged creatures, I will give you all my laws. And that word laws there isn't like 10 commandments. This word means kind of instructions. I will give you all the instructions that you need to live the life of a faithful believer in my nation. We would put it in terms like this. I'm going to tell you everything you need to know to live the Christian life. But it's not going to be easy. But they're not Christians. They're people belonging to a commonwealth of Israel. They are believers. I'm going to tell you all you need to know to live faithfully before me. So the 2 purposes, I'm going to meet you there and I'm going to instruct you from there. He's not going to instruct all the people directly. He's going to do it through a mediator or mediators, priests. Because the job of the priest was to go out and teach the people what God had said. If they don't tell the people what God said, are they telling them anything worthwhile? No. If you don't want to say what God says, don't say anything. You're much safer that way. And the law is in the box. The 10 commandments express the very character of God. So in the box is God's character. What's on top of the box is the lid, and that's called the seat of mercy. And it's that that gets the blood sprinkled on it. So that the blood is saying, through this blood, you meet the demands of the law. You have the righteousness that I can bestow only by grace. I am merciful when I come down and dwell with you. And so it's called the mercy seat. So there's the dwelling. There's the in the holy dwelling, in the holy of holies is this box. And God can only stay there because this atonement process takes place once a year. The day called Yom Kippur, which is the day of covering, the day of atonement. Now let's move out into the holy place. You have to go through a veil to get into the next room, the holy dwelling. The bread would be on one side and the light would be on the other. 1 loaf representing each tribe. The light had 7 lamps on it. This provided the light for the holy place. Because the priests had to go in here and maintain the bread. They had to go in here and maintain the incense. So they needed light. And they had to go in and maintain this light. This light ran 24 hours a day. The table of showbread means holy bread, means it's offered to God. It can only be eaten in the tabernacle by the priest. It can't be eaten by a common person. It's holy. It's sanctified. It's set apart. The tent itself, we're going to go to the outside here a little bit, has 4 layers. Colorful linen, blue, red, and purple on the very inside. And this curtain in the front is the same thing, colorful linen. Next layer is goat's hair, a woven cover from goat's hair. When it's dry, lets air through. When it gets wet, it swells up and becomes actually waterproof. The next layer is ram skin dyed red. That would provide warmth. They could actually kind of lift up one of these layers and let air come through if it became very warm inside that tent. The final layer is, this says badger skin. There's a dispute on that. Probably porpoise, because porpoise were plentiful in the Red Sea area. Porpoise skin is like leather. So this tent from the outside would look like any other tent in the desert. On the inside, however, with these colorful linen drapes and the gold-covered acacia wood, that would be brilliant on the inside. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus looked like an ordinary Hebrew man. But what happened when he exposed what was inside of himself? Called the Mount of Transfiguration, his glory, and the disciples that were with him fell down like they were dead. That inner glory, that gold and value on the inside. From the inside, decoration, to the outside, protection. And the inside is fine linen, fine Egyptian linen, to the outside, which is just leather. Now, there's two curtains here. We see this curtain on the outside. That's going into the holy place. The other curtain is behind that, separating the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Remember? What's in front of the Ark of the Covenant? The curtain that separates the two compartments in here. Now, these two curtains, the key concept here is separation. Because these two curtains, the first one protects the Holy of Holies from the holy place or the outer room. And one priest can go in that place once a year. That's a distinction being made. Only one priest can go in there once a year. Who can go into the holy place? Who can go beyond the curtain that's here into the holy place? Many priests, twice a day, to trim the lamps, to light the incense. You have to be a priest in order to go in there. Here it is, looking at it from again, I want to go back to this view. Table of showbread as you walk in on the right. The lamp as you walk in on the left. Altar of incense standing right before the curtain. Behind this curtain is the Ark of the Covenant. All right, let's look at the courtyard. There's a bronze altar. Altar means place of slaughter. So what's going to happen there? Blood's going to be shed. It's going to stink. It's going to smell bad. Flesh is going to be burning. This would not be pleasant. This wouldn't be pleasant to do. It wouldn't be pleasant to smell. Sin stinks. Sin is bad. Okay, so the next thing then is the curtain. The curtain was in the camp, but it separated that from the camp. So you have this courtyard. It's in the middle of the camp. There's the curtain that separates the courtyard and all these things inside there from the camp. Any Israelite could enter the courtyard. Now, any Gentile believer who is circumcised could go in there. This person is now part of the covenant. Remember what Moses said? If you take a slave from another country, if he wants to be part of you, you circumcise him. A man would only be circumcised if he had believed what Abraham had said about the promises. So if a Gentile believed what Abraham had said about the promises given to the people of Israel, he would be declared righteous. Because how do you get righteousness? By faith in what God has said. Then he would be circumcised in order to say, I agree with that Abrahamic covenant. So now we have three gates or three curtains. From the camp into the courtyard, from the courtyard into the holy place, from the holy place into the Holy of Holies. Now we come to the priests, men set apart. This is their clothing. White linen, white turban, colorful sash, red, blue, and purple. Those are consistent colors through the whole tabernacle system. The purple expresses royalty. The red expresses blood and sacrifice. The blue expresses authority, dominion, wealth. All these colors are brought together. 28:1. Call your brother Aaron and his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, four sons. Separate them from the people of Israel. See how this word separation keeps coming up. Make them distinct. So that they may serve me as priests, make priestly garments for your brother Aaron to provide him with dignity and beauty. Verses 1 and 2 describing the priests who are set apart. The next thing he says is going to be one man set apart, 28:2, That's going to be your brother Aaron, and his garment's going to look like that. Beautiful, ornate, makes him stand out. And wherever he went, they could hear him coming, and they could hear him going, because he had bells at the bottom of his robe. He represents 28, 29, and 30. 28, 29. When Aaron enters the holy place, he will wear his breastpiece engraved with the names of the tribes of Israel. That breastpiece, these are 12 stones, and each stone has the tribe name on it. And here's the purpose. So that I, the Lord, will always remember my people. Put the Urim and the Thummim in the breastpiece so that Aaron will carry them when he comes into my holy presence. Now, what are this Urim and Thummim for? These are two stones. At such times, he must always wear the breastpiece with those stones in it, so that, here's the purpose, so that he can determine my will for the people of Israel. Now, we don't know how they use those stones to determine God's will. It was probably through yes-no questions. And they were used in the temple to determine God's will. So two purposes, to represent me and to determine my will. And then once he determines and knows what God's will is, what's he supposed to do? Go out and tell the other priests as a faithful representative. And then what are they supposed to do? Go out and tell the people. That's why they become the teachers of the law. Chapter 29 is the consecration of the priests. We're not going to do that this week because we're going to look at it next week. Chapter 30 is the worship by the priests. Now the priests function within this courtyard to sacrifice the animals, and then they approach the holy place in order to maintain the light and to maintain the showbread and to burn the incense. On their way from the altar where they sacrificed the animals, they had to wash. They need to be cleansed externally, representing they have inner sin. It's water that can only be used by priests. It's set apart for the priests. The oil is oil that was used as anointing for service, not only in the lamps, which provided the light. So that was a service, provided light for the holy place. And it was poured on the heads of the priests as they were anointed for service. It was also poured on the head of kings as they were anointed for service. And it was poured on the head of prophets as they were anointed for service. And the word anoint is the Hebrew word mashach. And we get our word mashiach from that. Or we say Messiah in English. The anointed one. Now Jesus was God's anointed one. Jesus was a priest, he was a king, and he was a prophet. I shouldn't say was, I should say is. He is God's Messiah, His anointed one. He carries all three offices. The final one, this altar, the incense altar. The incense altar was the place where the priests interceded with prayer. The incense was burned on the altar. The incense represents prayer. The smoke going up to God is a pleasing aroma. Every time we pray, that's a pleasing aroma in God's nostrils. And we are offering up incense to God in the same way they were offering up incense in the holy place. 31 talks about who's going to do all this work. 31 talks about the craftsman and then closes with the covenant sign. He says in 11, in making all these things, they are to do exactly, not just kind of, but exactly as I've commanded you. And then he closes the chapter talking about the Sabbath day. Let's read that. Verse 12. The Lord commanded Moses to tell the people of Israel, keep the Sabbath, my day of rest, when I rest from all of creation, because it is a sign between you and me for all time to come, to show that I, the Lord, have made you my own people. People of Israel, you must keep the day of rest because it is sacred. Whoever does not keep it but works on that day is to be put to death. So there's the penalty for not keeping it. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is a solemn day of rest dedicated to me. Whoever does any work on that day is to be put to death. Got to say it again. It's like you have to tell your kids to do it twice, right? The people of Israel are to keep this day as a sign of the covenant. So there it is, very clear. The Sabbath day is a sign for Israel that they have a covenant with Moses. God said to Noah, I'm going to give the world a sign called the rainbow as the basis of a promise that I will never destroy the earth with water again. This is a sign of the Mosaic covenant that binds them together. What the Sabbath day did for the Jewish people, it made them different from all other nations because they did not rest on the seventh day. This still kind of makes Jewish people different from all other people. You go to Israel, you can't do anything on Saturday. You know, we Gentiles, we think, well, it's Saturday. This is the day you shop and do stuff. But the Jewish people don't. It makes them what? It makes them different. It makes them separate. That's what God intended with this sign. And look in 17, he says, it's a permanent sign between the people of Israel and me. Not the French, not the Germans. Because I, the Lord, made heaven and earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day I stopped working and rested. Now when God had finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two stone tablets on which God himself had written the commandments. With his own finger he wrote. When we come to 35, we come to the same thing. Remember the Sabbath. 31 ends the section where Moses is still up on the mountain. Then comes the sin down below where God has to restore the people, 32, 33, 34. When he opens 35 again, he opens it with the same warning. Remember the Sabbath, because if you don't, you're going to die. 35, 1 through 3, Moses called together all the whole community of the people of Israel and said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded you to do. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is to be sacred, a solemn day of rest dedicated to me, the Lord. Anyone who does any work on that day is to be put to death. Do not even light a fire in your homes on the Sabbath. Rest. Now he's telling them this right at the beginning of the point where they're going to begin constructing the temple, because you know what? While you're doing that work, you have to rest on the seventh day. Every seventh day, you're going to stop doing what you're doing. The next thing he talks about is the collection. And that's to get ready for the construction. Go tell the people to gather everything together. Now they're going to actually do it. And you know, they start bringing stuff. And they start bringing stuff. Now look what happens in 36, 2 through 7. Bezalel, Oholiab, and all the other skilled men to whom the Lord had given ability and who were willing to help, Moses told them to start working. They received from him all the offerings which the Israelites had brought for constructing the sacred tent. But the people continued to bring Moses their offerings every morning. Then the skilled men who were doing the work went and told Moses, the people are bringing too much. It's more than we need for the work which the Lord has commanded to be done. So Moses sent a command through the camp that no one was to make any further contribution for the sacred tent. So the people didn't bring any more. What had already been brought was more than enough to finish all the work. Too much! Stop! No more! Erwin Lutzer said, he's preaching one Sunday in Chicago. He says, I'm looking for the day when I have to tell you people that. Now, just to give you an idea what they brought. A ton of gold. 4 tons of silver. 2.5 tons of bronze. Plus the linens, the precious stones, all the oil, the incense, everything else they collected. And where had they gotten this? From the Egyptians. They brought it out of Egypt. The Egyptians gave it all to them. So there's the collection. In 35:30, the craftsmen are described. And then in 36, the construction is described. In 39, there's the completion. I'm not going to read through all these. You can do this on your own. This is the pattern. They collect, the craftsmen do the work, the construction is begun, and the construction is completed. In 39:42, the construction is completely done. 39:42, the Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses examined everything and saw that they had made it all just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. Moses stands as the mediator between God and all these people. They do it the way God wants it done. Moses examines it, says this is right, and he blesses them. If we do things the way Jesus has said to do them, he will bless us. He will bless us. And we will radiate his glory. So here it is done. Here's how they did it. Remember in 25 through 31, what was the first thing he talked about? Building the box. Here, the first thing built is the tent, because the box must be covered by the tent. So they build the tent. Then they build the box and the lid. That's covered. That's out of sight. Then they put the bread table in there. Then they put the lampstand in there. Then they put the incense altar in there. Then they get the oil and the incense and they make that and they mix that up. Now, so that's all ready to go. But now they got to take care of the outer court. Next thing they do is they build the bronze altar. Then the bronze basin with the water in it. Then they put up the court curtain and the courtyard fence. Then the priests get their garments. And the final thing is the breastplate that is given to Aaron as the high priest. Look at 39:14. Each of the 12 stones had engraved on it the name of one of the sons of Jacob. 12 tribes, 12 sons. in order to represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And so when this high priest was walking about this courtyard in this temple, he was representing all of the tribes that had been brought out of Egypt. What are they going to do with this? They're going to dedicate it, chapter 40. That's where we're going to be next week. Let's pray. Dear Father, we do thank you for your word.